This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik filling in today for Lucy May. Hanging around baseball legends was just an ordinary part of life for Bobby Bench. Watching his dad, Johnny Bench, in the broadcasting booth or playing with Marge Schott's dog, Shotzi. He never saw his dad on the field, but his father's legend loomed large in Bobby's life. Lindsay Barra never got to see her grandpa Yogi on the field either, but she remembers the Yogi who said funny things on television. And kids following in the footsteps of legends may seem like they come from privilege, but what about the pressure that comes with all that greatness? Bobby Bench and Lindsay Barra join me along with former WCPO sports anchor Dennis Jansen to talk about what it's like growing up in the family of a sports legend. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Lindsay, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me as well, Marianne. Good to see you.
Glad to have you all here. There's so much I want to ask. I hope we can get it in the short time that we have. But Bobby, I'm going to start with you and just dig right in. When did you first know that your dad wasn't like everybody else's dad?
I don't remember an exact example. I certainly knew that I was, you know, privileged to have access to being on the field, to being behind the scenes, to being around the Reds organization. Certainly coming up, there was a sense of normalcy because, like what you had mentioned, hanging out with Marge Schott and her dog, like that was kind of my daycare. When dad would come down to the stadium, he was on the radio. I'd just go hang out with Shotzi during the game. So there was kind of a sense of normalcy. And
was Shotzi a good babysitter?
Oh, Shotzi was a great babysitter. That took him most of the time. Distracted me plenty from the game. But I think certainly getting into adolescence is where you realize there's a difference. Like, you know your dad's special, but how his legacy impacted a whole city or and is going to then impact my upbringing and growth as an individual.
Lindsay, what about with your grandpa, Yogi Berra? When did you know that he was not just your average grandpa?
I mean, I'm still being reminded that he was not just an average grandpa because I still think of him so much as my grandpa Yogi. When I was a kid, I didn't know. I mean, he was a coach for the Yankees when I was young, and then he had his falling out with Jordan Steinbrenner, and then he went on to be with the Astros. And so I spent less time at the ballpark after I was like six because he was in Houston most of the time, right, when he was working. But I thought being a baseball coach was like really not that much different than, you know, my friend's grandfather who was an accountant or my other friend's grandfather who was a bus driver. It was just a job that he did. I didn't know that it was like a fancy job, right? And as I grew up and I you know started to realize that he was this, you know, big character and like a legendary baseball player, then it kind of started to you know hit home a little bit more. But it always hits home like in different funny ways. I remember I was waiting tables at I went to the University of North Carolina at a brewery in North Carolina, and it was when those starting lineup figurines came out. Bobby, do you remember those?
Oh yeah.
And the guy brought in a Grandpa Yogi starting lineup figurine, and it was like this little plastic, you know, Grandpa Yogi, and its head spun all the way around like Poltergeist. I was like, oh my God, he's an action hero, and his action figure, and his head spins all the way around. Like, what? Why is Grandpa like so? Like, it was kind of like a surreal moment, and it just makes you think about who he was, that he deserved to be made into this little action figure. But I have moments like that all the time.
I want to talk a little bit about what your dad and grandpa were like as you all were growing up. But Dennis, you were around when Bobby was born. You were friends with Johnny Bench.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of dad did you see him to be? I mean, was it like any other dad?
Except he had odd hours. He had odd hours, and he had, during baseball season, in and out of town, of course. So there was I don't want to say there was any pressure, but there was an urgency to catch up with the kids when there was an off day or if they were back in town. And Lindsay, I can imagine the same with your grandpa. I mean, he had to cherish every moment he had with you and your siblings, right?
Yeah. And I mean, so my dad talks a lot about grandpa. When my dad and my Uncle Tim, my Uncle Dale were growing up, grandpa was on the road for like, you know, the good portion of everything. And then in the winter times, he would be around and grandpa would make a concerted effort to go to all of their basketball games, all of their hockey games, because he missed so much in the summer during the baseball season. And it was the same thing with us as grandkids, because he was coaching up until I was almost out of high school. And, you know, in those, he saw a lot of my ice hockey games, right? He saw a lot of my brother's basketball games, but he never saw any of us play baseball or softball. But he did make up for it, you know, when he was around for sure.
Bobby, what you talk a little bit about, you have a lot of friends who also have famous dads. You were talking about Kimmy Carter, and you talked to one of our producers about that, and the idea that you just thought your dads is a couple of goofy dads. I mean, you didn't really think about it.
Yeah, I mean, my dad still does like very common dad things. Like, what was it this morning? He forwarded an email to me that I was already CC'd on that I had sent to him in the first place. So it's just goofy family stuff that happens all the time. So like, there are certainly very special moments, but you still have regular family dinners. You still have regular family Discord. You still have a lot of those same interactions. And certainly with my brothers, it's almost a generational gap because my next oldest brother is 16 years younger than me. I remember when he was 10 and then Josh was 6, we were in Cincinnati. So they had a little more of an obvious moment of realizing how special dad was because we were in the newly renovated Reds Hall of Fame. And I showed them the 75 and 76 World Series trophy. And I was like, hey, you know, dad won these two. And they're like, our dad? Like, it's like they didn't see him as anything different either. So there was just, it's still just, you know, basic family interactions, but also any of those other children of famous, you know, sports or politics or music legacies I've talked to, we have a very immediate connection of familiarity of how we grew up and a similar upbringing in that regard.
Do you feel like you have to represent when you're out in a way that maybe somebody who didn't have a famous parent would have to, would behave?
Absolutely. I think dad really hammered that home. DJ can attest to that in some ways of, you know, how you dress, how you behave. And, you know, one kind of moment about representing him was actually happened with Lindsay's grandfather at the 1999 World Series. We were there for the All Century presentation. We were riding the elevator and dad and Yogi and all those guys. I mean, it's locker room banter. It's a fraternity of Hall of Famers and baseball alumni. And they, you know, they talk the way they do, but dad always made sure that like, I didn't talk that way. Like I still represent him, but I'm not in like Flynn for them. But we were riding down the elevator and Yogi says, you know, hey Bob, you know, I'm throwing out the first pitch tonight. How do you think I'll do? And I just kind of smirked at him. I was like, yeah, I think I'll give you 2 bounces. And dad just whaps me on the back of the head. Like, you don't talk like that. And I was like, I thought that's how we were all talking. We're just bantering in the elevator. And we get to the game. And sure enough, I think Yogi 2 hops it to the plate, comes off the field and looks at me. He's like, hey, yeah, Bob, you were right. And dad just looks at me like, not another word.
Lindsay, you'll like this one. I was coming down 71 one time, and this is back when Bobby was 16 or 17. And I passed him on the expressway. I was still working at Channel 9 at the time. And I looked over, and here's Bobby driving the SUV, and he's going the speed limit. He has both hands on the wheel, 10 and 2. He is signaling his turns, and he has his seatbelt. It's all there. And I thought, you know what? If somebody saw Bobby doing something stupid, they would be sure to call his dad. I called Johnny. I said, Johnny, I just had witnessed a scene here that's going to warm your heart. It was Bobby doing all the right things. And he said, that's great. Thanks, man. That's great.
Lindsay. It's funny, like, you know, first of all, I do want to just say, like, there was like a real affection there between my grandpa Yogi and Bobby's dad, Johnny. I don't know if it was like the catching fraternity or something, but like, they were very funny when they were together. And they, you know, I always, the famous story about Grandpa Yogi sending Johnny the telegram, I always knew that record would stand until it was broken, and it became like crazy, you know, one of those Yogiism stories that just has legs because it's true and it's funny and it, you know, came from the, you know, grandpa really just wanting to congratulate Johnny and saying it in a way that only he could, right? Anyway, they really did care for each other. And I have a lot of, you know, you watch grandpa, my grandpa was a special person. And when you think about like, he is definitely a member of that greatest generation. He's a first generation immigrant. He volunteered to serve the country in volunteered for World War II when he had a pro baseball contract in his hand and ended up as a gunner off of Omaha Beach during the D-Day invasion. He did so much with his life even before he ever stepped on a baseball field. And I do think he is, you know, just like the epitome of a great American. And nothing he ever did went to his head. He was the most down to earth, humble, like nice guy. And he always treated everybody just with the same kind of respect he would want to be treated. He never made snap judgments about people. He was just a kind and decent and generous human being. And a lot of times, like, you know, that's hard to live up to. Like, he always did the right thing all the time. And not all of us can do that. So when you talk about, like, carrying on your grandfather's legacy, like, a lot of times I have to think, like, oh, grandpa wouldn't have been happy with that response, right? And it's a little bit of I'm not going to say it's a burden, but it's just a high bar to live up to, you know, because he was just a good dude.
How much does that come with having his name attached to yours? Because I, you know, certainly in a city like Cincinnati, having the name Bench stands out like a sore thumb. So how much was Barra really recognized and people talked to you about it in your upbringing that was a reminder of that legacy?
I mean, constantly, absolutely constantly, to the point that when I first started working at ESPN Magazine, I would introduce myself as Lindsay from ESPN and not say my last name because I didn't want to invite the comparisons. That point, I wanted to make my own way and have people not think I was there because I was Yogi's granddaughter. Not that I was ever embarrassed by it or anything, but I just wanted people to think I was smart about baseball because I was smart about baseball, not because I grew up watching games next to him. Even though that was why I was smart about baseball.
Well, let's talk about comparisons. And Bobby, you played on a sports teams. I guess not a lot. I heard you quoted on a interview that, you know, you were all right. You were never what you would call great, but you were all right on the field. But sometimes people didn't react well to you. What did you have happen?
Well, I think you're certainly held to a standard right off the bat, like Lindsay says, with your name. Like, I think whether or not you know enough about baseball because you're good at it, because you've just inherited it, like I saw some old statistics books of like grade school. I was like, yeah, I hit pretty well. I thought that was a solid player, but I never really felt like that because everybody's already holding you to so much of a higher standard and the opposing players already know who you are and they're going to make sure they go after you that much harder to compete with you. So it's tough to really have a like unbiased scope of how good you can be at things when you're already put on this, you know, plateau before you get a chance to prove yourself.
But didn't people react from the stands and then come and want to talk to your dad later? What was
that? Oh, yeah, they would heckle me on the field and then come ask my dad for an autograph after the game.
How did he react to that?
Well, because then that puts him in a bad position too, because then he's got to be good to his fans, but he's also got to be loyal to his son. So, it's probably precarious for both of us. So,
but Johnny never pushed you or any of your brothers, has he? He encourages you, but no.
To play sports?
Oh, certainly encouraged me, yeah. I think he was harsh, though. Like, he never pushed us into it, but if we were doing it, he held us accountable.
Oh, exactly.
Because, yeah. our good friend, Uncle Pat Barry, was watching a game with him one time, and the wind blew, I got some dust in my eye, and I'm not paying attention to the at-bat, and Dad says, like, get your glove down, get in position, and Uncle Pat says, like, hey, why don't you just be a little more lenient on him? It's like fifth grade baseball. He's like, and Dad just looks over, he's like, when I was his age, I was playing high schoolers.
That's amazing.
Oh,
my dad tells a great story. My dad played, he was a good baseball player. He was playing in the Mets minor league system in Marion, Virginia. And there was a game where this guy was just on him my dad was a catcher from behind the backstop, just heckling him, basically along the lines of like, you know, you'll never be able to hit as well as your dad. You'll never be as good a catcher as your dad. You'll never do this as good as your dad. Your dad wouldn't have made that mistake, like all day. And by the sixth inning, my dad had just kind of had it. And the guy's screaming, you'll never be as good as your dad. And my dad turned around, took his mask off, went over, stuck his finger at the guy and goes, neither will you. So you just gotta, like, at some point you can't compare people to Johnny Bench and Yogi Berra. Nobody's gonna be that good again.
Well, this is Cincinnati Edition, and we're talking to Bobby Bench, Lindsay Barra, and Dennis Jansen about being a child of an American legend. We'd love to get your questions. If you want to email us, email talk@wvxu.org. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. And later in the show, our diversity program's broken. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik filling in for Lucy May. We continue our conversation with Bobby Bench, son of Johnny Bench, Lindsay Barra, granddaughter of Yogi Barra, and sports journalist Dennis Jansen. I can't have you on the phone, Lindsay, without asking you what your favorite Grandpa Yogi quote is.
I like the existential ones. If the world were perfect, it wouldn't be. The future ain't what it used to be. But I will say, like, they're great. But when you come to a fork in the road, take it. And if I wish I could show you guys, like, the street that goes up to my grandfather's, where my grandparents lived. It goes up the hill and it makes a perfect Y split, and both sides of the Y get to Highland Avenue. And it didn't matter which side of the fork you took. If you made a left, you'd get to their house. He's giving Joe Graziella directions to the house. He says, when you come to the fork in the road, take it. And it becomes this, like, people don't know what he's talking about. But if you look at it, it makes perfect sense. Everything he said made perfect sense. And that one, take the fork, has kind of become a euphemism in my family for, like, get off your butt and get it done. Like, what are you waiting for, Lindsay? Take the fork, right? So I use a lot of them. I like deja vu all over again. I think that's, you know, applicable in life a lot. I mean, I think there's a lot of them that are really great. And yes, they're funny on the surface, but when you think about them, they really do make a lot of sense.
Bobby, we just have a little bit of time left. Last thoughts about what you'd like to share about what it was like, what it is like to be Johnny Bench's son?
It's special in the end. And I think it certainly pushes your life in certain directions, maybe that aren't organic, but you ultimately, you're dealt the hand that you have. And, things like social media, for example, are kind of like interesting to navigate, because I know Lindsay's been a great steward of her grandfather's legacy and promoting, old videos and old moments that keeps his legacy alive. And I think that's something my dad had always expected of me as well, being his, firstborn child. But I remember, I've completely quit social media. I remember at one point there was, that I could get the behind the scenes, pictures and videos and moments with Dad and the Big Red Machine and in Cooperstown. And those certainly got more likes than anything I tried to do that was just genuinely my own. So it's always just a matter of perspective. It's something that I'm certainly going to have to teach my son. It's certainly something that I try to teach my younger brothers that maybe isn't expected as much of them as it is me being the older sibling. It shapes your world in a different way than you can really have full control over.
I actually found out we have 10 more minutes. I thought we had to wrap up. So we have more we can talk about, which is great because I have a lot more questions. So you talked about public expectations, and there were so many people that your dad played with on the Big Red Machine. Did you hang out with those kids? I mean, we have the Griffies, so you've got two famous people with Junior and Senior there, and Pete Rose, of course. And, I don't know if you've ever talked much with Petey Rose about what he went through being a son of a famous athlete.
Yeah, I think me and Tyler Rose, who's his son from a second marriage, we have a similar age range. So we've also had a similar dealings with our father's businesses as well. But, throughout those bigger machine guys, it's all family. And Tyler actually was, of all the people that sent in emails to my dad's website or through, industry contacts, I sent emails to Dad, saying, the sympathies for the loss of Joe Morgan passed away, telling Dad sorry for his loss. Tyler was the only one that reached out to me and say, hey, like, sorry for our loss. Like, we lost an uncle figure. That's what all those guys are. It's family. We have family reunions almost with the Hall of Fame inductions with the Reds. Me and Ken Griffey Jr. on complete different stratospheres in the baseball industry. But when we see each other, it's like seeing cousins. And same with Victor and Eduardo Perez. So, I mean, there's already such a bond throughout that team. And I'm sure, it's even that big, much bigger with the Yankees organization with all those legends and how they get together and have connected.
Dennis, talk a little bit about how you observed it as a sports reporter and anchor, as you observed all of these adults and their children.
What I have noticed first and foremost about Yogi and Johnny, I was only in one elevator one time with Yogi Berra, and there was some kind of little kerfluffle there about, you know, whatever, and Yogi took control. Said, okay, move back this way. And he directed people to get the most people into an elevator, okay? And just not loud or just like, no, just do the smart thing. And your dad, it's catchers direct the action. They no are the generals are. On the field. They call the pitches that the pitcher's supposed to deliver. And it's curious to see how many catchers – have been successful managers, and also the respect and the regard that they are held in by not just their contemporaries, but other people. They go, you know, there's just something about it. Lindsay, did Grandpa just have that special little something?
I think he had a lot of special little somethings, yeah. But it's funny, the catcher thing is just – I was messaging with Bobby earlier this month because I watched there's a Tim Russert interview with Grandpa, Johnny, Gary Carter. Oh my God, who are the other two, Bobby? Fisk. There's five of them on it. Fisk.
Yeah. I think there's like the core forwards, Berra, Bench, Fisk, and Carter, and then they've added Piazza and Rodriguez into that like kind of catcher's Rushmore.
This catcher's conversations, like, they're absolutely hysterical, and like just their recollections, because they can see the whole field, they're involved in every play. There was like Grandpa remembered everything. Like you could stop him even later in life when he had like actual dementia and say, you know, Yogi, like the 1955 World Series game three, the second inning, how did you pitch this guy? And he would tell you the whole sequence. Like he remembered everything. It was like a savant. It was wacky. But like, when you say he got on an elevator and was like directing traffic, like he just was such a practical, like nice,
exactly.
Him doing that. He'd be like, you're in the way, move over here, get him on the elevator. What's your problem? Right. Like he just was very direct and to the point. I can totally see him doing that for sure.
Well, you tell a story also. I read somewhere about, he and Joe Garagiola actually sold Christmas trees in the off season.
Yeah, so we have a museum here in New Jersey, Yogi Berra Museum and Learning Center, and we have these photos of so Grandpa and Joe grew up across the street from each other on the hill in St. Louis. Joe would say that Yogi was the first guy he ever saw. They were literally friends for 90 years. They shared a baby carriage when they were kids. But we have this Christmas tree photo. We've got pictures of Grandpa's bowling alley, and we try to impress upon the kids today that back in the day, you could be a professional baseball player and need to have a job in the off season because you didn't make enough money playing baseball, especially if you were sending money home to your three brothers and your sister and your parents and your cousins and all these people. You needed to make a little extra money. And the first job that Joe and Grandpa did was they worked in this landscape lot on the hill selling Christmas trees and you know, a variety of other things in the off season. They worked in a hardware store. He and Phil Rizzuto sold suits at the American Shops in Newark. They weren't good at any of these things, and that was why they decided to open a bowling alley here in Jersey. Grandpa and Phil did that, and they had this bowling alley for a bunch of years. But you tell the kids today, like, so could you imagine if Aaron Judge had to leave tables in a restaurant in the off season? And they're like, what? So it's just good for perspective.
Chris Sable used to do, didn't he work? That's the only one I remember of any kind of recent player that worked in the offseason. I did want to talk a little bit. You have there's a documentary out on Amazon about your grandpa, and you want to talk a little bit about that briefly and his lack of being named a legend.
So we made this documentary about Grandpa. It's called It Ain't Over. It had been on Netflix for a while, but now it's on Amazon and Apple right now. You can give that a watch. And thank you, Bobby, for watching it. I still can't believe I made a movie that anyone watches.
Oh,
so
it's terrific. I love your grandfather, and I had to watch it. It's terrific.
So the idea was that a lot of, you know, my grandfather was a tremendous baseball player, one of the best ever. And I do think that as he got older, this super big personality of his and the fact that he spent so much time in baseball, he retired in 65 were his last at bats, but he was in baseball for another 30 years as a coach and a manager. and, you know, doing a lot of interviews. And that was when those yogiisms just started to fall out of his mouth. And he started doing commercials, you know, with the Yoohoo and the Pringles and the credit card commercial with Yao Ming. And he just became known, the Aflac commercial with the duck. And he just became known as this, like, you know, funny guy who said these funny things. And I think that kind of overshadowed his, you know, prowess as a baseball player, and people remember him more for that second part of his life than they do for the first one. And, you know, we just wanted to remind people that he really was this tremendous baseball player and also a great human being and a great American who, you know, again, served his country and had this beautiful 65-year love affair with my Grammy Carmen. There's definitely something in the movie for everyone. You don't have to be a baseball fan to enjoy it. It's a immigrant story, a veteran story, a love story, and it's just, I like it. I think it turned out pretty good.
That's great. Last words, this time for real, I think. You talked about the importance of just being a family and having all these people as part of your family. Do you think you'll stay in touch with the kids of famous people for the rest of your life?
I'd like to. I mean, this is something that me and DJ have discussed as, you know, potential podcast, and everybody's doing it these days. But, you know, just being able to have further discussions with either Lindsay or, you know, any other kids of, like, the Rose family was in town. I tried to get in touch with them. I know they were in town celebrating their father, but yeah, just be able to explore that behind the scenes family dynamic. And that's what Lindsay then captures in that film, is like, they're more than just baseball players. They're family men, they're American icons, they're community members, and being able to kind of pull back the fame and just talk about the lifestyle.
Danny, what do you think? Oh, Lindsay, go right ahead.
I'm sorry, just it's in, you know, same over here on our side. Like, I'm really good friends with young Eddie Ford, who's Whitey's grandson. My dad's still good friends with Eddie's sons. I'm great friends with the Garagiola grandkids. My dad is friends with the Garagiola sons and daughters. You know, friends with Ron Guidry's son, Brandon. Bobby Richardson's granddaughter, Amy, is a good friend of mine. And it's funny. It's like, you know, I know those people. Like, Bobby and I don't know each other well, but Bobby and I could sit and talk probably for days on end, because even though we didn't grow up together, we certainly have a shared experience that not a lot of people have. And I feel like I could say something and he would totally get where I was coming from, even without knowing me super well. So it's nice to kind of keep those relationships and, like, have people say, like, oh, you know, like, if you make a reference to some, like, you know, crazy Reds game that half the world has forgotten, it's nice to know that someone else will remember it, right? You know, I don't know. It's just, it's cool to have that in common.
Well, it has been such a pleasure to talk to all of you today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much, Marianne.
Thank you.
I've been talking with Bobby Bench, Lindsay Barra, and sports journalist Dennis Jansen. Thank you for being here. Up next, some politicians want to get rid of DEI programs. Are they worth saving? This is Cincinnati Edition.